This is Juice Storm Radio. Juice Storm
Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome to another Juice Storm Radio podcast. Great to have you with us again. The viewing figures are going through the roof. First on today's show, let's get right into it. We got the tennis purist. What a fabulous fellow he is. He's standing by right now as we speak. Welcome once again to the show, Pete. How are you, mate?
John, really well. Thanks. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm terrific. Thanks. Now, we're nearing the end of the second week at Wimbledon. We're very much at the business end of things now. Anything interesting stood out for you since we spoke this time last week?
Sure. Well, I think a few things that I want to talk about. First of all, Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray both exiting the tournament. Mm-hmm. A shock in itself, but not least because of the way they exited, John. Obviously, they both left their matches with a bit of a whimper through injury. Djokovic called it fairly early on in the second set against Thomas Berdych early on this week. Murray actually completed his match, as I'm sure you're aware, against Sam Querrey, but was clearly struggling with injury. And now both are talking about having a sustained period of time off the court in order to mend their ailing limbs, especially Djokovic. So whether we will see both of them at the US Open later on in the year or not, who knows? I imagine we will see Murray the way Djokovic was talking and the way Agassi has certainly been talking over the past 24 hours. We may well not see Djokovic. He may well be seeing a specialist about that shoulder injury. So, as far as those two are concerned, obviously a shame we haven't got any British interest in the semi final anymore. And obviously a real shame that they both had to retire or not play at their optimal level because of injury. On a more positive note, Johanna Konta, albeit exiting the tournament at the hands of Venus Williams, I'll talk about more in a second. She had a fantastic run. She was able to compete at 100% fitness. And didn't she have a fantastic tournament getting all the way to the semi-finals? So I think she certainly captured the hearts of the nation. It's always a fantastic achievement to get to the semi-final of any Grand Slam, yet alone your home Slam. So fingers crossed she can go one or two better next year and hopefully get some silverware in the cabinet.
Good stuff, mate.
Just one other thing I want to talk about whilst we're talking about women's tennis. Obviously, it is Venus Williams who has managed to capture a lot of the headlines over the past 24 to 48 hours. 37 years young into her 16th Grand Slam final, going for her sixth Wimbledon title. What an amazing achievement. And certainly for me, right up there with Roger Federer's Aussie Open win earlier this year, if she can pull it off and win tomorrow.
Well, let's wish her the best on that. Now, last week, Pete, you gave us some trading tips on the outright market. How have they panned out?
Sure. On the men's side, I advise laying Nadal at 4.9. That would have won nicely for you as he lost to Gilles Muller earlier on this week.
Yep.
I also gave a couple of back to lays, which also have come in very nicely as far as prices are concerned. So we had Marin Cilic, who obviously plays later on this afternoon. He was advised last week at 21s. He's now at 5.7 to lay. That's one that that would have created very, very nice green book. Also, we have Milos Raonic, who lost to Federer. His price more than halved from 36s before that match against Federer. So I hope you all manage to get a nice green book on that one as well. On the women's side, I advise backing Jo Konta at 7.4. She was available to lay at 3.5 before her semi with Venus yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Coco Vandeweghe was the other one who I tipped her back at 11s. Her price dropped to 7s before she was knocked out by Magdalena Rybakova. So they've all gone very, very nicely, have all come in as expected. So some good profits to be made there.
Great news for a lot of the Juice Storm Radio listeners and, of course, the readers as well on juicestorm.com, because I think a lot of those and other ideas you put up on the site there, don't you?
Exactly. On a daily basis, the match previews are all there for all to see. So
Great stuff. Now, let's look ahead at the women's final then, Pete. What are your thoughts ahead of that one?
Tough one to call, John. You've obviously got Venus Williams, as I mentioned earlier, all the history and the euphoria surrounding her, you know, that is going to be recycled and regurgitated heavily in the media over the next sort of 24 hours. But she's playing the Spaniard Garbina Muguruza, who has won the title here previously as well. So we've got two previous winners fighting out in tomorrow's final. A bit of a coin flip for me. Not one I'm going to be trading on, certainly pre-match myself. I wonder whether Muguruza's movement might just be enough to win this one. If Venus Williams is serving her best, I think she stands a good chance. But I just wonder whether Garbina Muguruza's slightly more fluid and athletic movement might just be enough for her to win. So I would say probably three sets. If you're pushing me for a win, I'm going to say Muguruza, John, but could really go either way.
Okay, thanks for that, buddy. Now, the two men's semi-finals taking place this afternoon, Friday the 14th of July. What do you reckon?
Sure. So we've got the first match kicking off, which is going to be Sam Querrey, obviously Murray's conqueror from the quarterfinals. He's up against Marin Cilic, two big servers, two players that will look to get their big forehands into play as quickly as possible. I'm going to side with Cilic on this one, as written on the Juice Storm podcast. On the Juice Storm site, this morning. I'm going to side with Cilic on this one. I think he's got a better all-round game. I think he's got a better return of serve than Querrey. And his greater experience, this is Querrey's first Grand Slam semi-final, his greater experience in this Grand Slam semi-final situation, I think will be enough there. You look at the Grand Slam semi in the women's side between Garbina Muguruza and Rybakova. It was Rybakova's first semi-final, and she practically crumbled under the pressure. I don't think Querrey will do that to quite the same extent, but I do think at this stage of a Grand Slam tournament that experience at this stage, at this level, does count for a lot. And Cilic certainly leads the way as far as the two are concerned on that. So I think Cilic to edge it probably in four sets, possibly five.
Thanks for that, Pete. Who's going to win it on the men's side? Fancy nailing your colours to the mast on that one?
Yeah, I'll just talk, if you don't mind, John, just about the other semi-final. Querrey Cilic isn't the only match happening today. You've got them on first. Following them, you've got the Swiss maestro Roger Federer versus Thomas Berdych. Berdych, who of course was the recipient of Novak Djokovic's early retirement in the quarterfinal. Not one that you can look past Federer on, I don't think. I expect three sets. I expect a break or two for Federer in each set, and I think Berdych will struggle to break the Federer serve at all. Berdych's best bet is to take the sets as tie breaks, I think, because you know yourself, John, tie breaks are a bit of a lottery. So I think Federer and Cilic to then fight out the final. So to answer that question, John, who's going to win the final? Again, I can't look beyond Federer. I think he will have more than enough to beat Cilic, assuming it is Cilic that he faces. And again, I'm thinking three sets, maybe four sets. Very similarly to Federer's match against Berdych today, I think whoever he faces, Cilic or Querrey, this is assuming Federer reaches the final, of course. I think their best bet against Federer will be to take the sets to tie breaks. But I expect Federer to win in three or four sets against Cilic or Querrey.
Okay, thanks for that, Pete. What's next after Wimbledon?
Okay, so we transition very briefly back to the clay with two ATP 250 tournaments from Croatia and Sweden before big 500 events in Hamburg, also on the clay, starts on the 24th of July. Following that, John, we really hit the hard court swing hard. Always happens every single year. And it kicks off with a 500 tournament in Washington starting on the 31st of July, followed by two consecutive Masters 1000 events at the start of August, the first in Montreal and then the second the following week in Cincinnati. And then, of course, we lead up to the US Open, which is the final Grand Slam of the year. So lots to look forward to, John. The clay and the grass, certainly on the ATP main tour, will be behind us, and we'll be on the blue and green grass court, hard courts of North America.
You're going to be a busy boy, and thanks ever so much for your enormous contributions on this podcast and always every day on the juicestorm.com website as well. Great to have you on again, Pete.
Pleasure as always, John. Take care.
All right, mate. All the very best. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
This is Juice Storm Radio. Juice Storm Radio.
Next on the Juice Storm Radio podcast is our very own Andy Newton. He's going to be talking about the horse racing for this afternoon. That's Friday, the 14th of July. And also the horse racing for tomorrow. Andy, welcome to the show once again, sir.
Hello, John. You all right? All good?
Oh, I'm terrific, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm all tanned up from my week in Spain, but come back and it's peeing down. So
we
I'm
missed
sure
you, you know, there. Mate. We missed you.
But, yeah, I'm sure you did.
What have you got for us today?
Right. Well, yeah, it's day two of the Newmarket July Festival. We had we got underway yesterday at HQ, yep. But today. The Falmouth Stakes, the Group 1 for the fillies, is the sort of showcase race that we're going to sort of focus on. And, you know, to be honest, John, it's not the best renewal that we've ever seen. He only got seven runners in there. And, you know, Roly Poly, the Aidan O'Brien trained horse, is going to head the betting here. But I'm not sure about this one. I'll probably be taking it on. I mean, the O'Brien camp, they won it last year with Alice Springs. That was well back that day. But they've actually... You know, for a Group 1 mile race at this time of year, they've actually got a pretty dire record in the race. I think that's their only win, yeah. Falmouth, ever. So, yes, Roly Poly, it was second last time out to their winter in the Coronation Stakes at Ascot. But, you know, it was well back that day, didn't it? It hardly made that horse pull out all the stops. I think it sort of nabbed second by sort of default, really. And, yeah, the main reasons here, I just think, you know, at the price, 9-4, you know, it's seven races now without a win. It's never won over a mile. And I just think, you know, basically I'll just be playing this one for a lay. Yes, there's not a lot to take it on with. There's probably three others in there. Sea of Grace, that was second last time out in the French 1,000 guineas. I mean, if the rain comes, we've had a bit of rain in the south, but I'm not sure if it's hit Newmarket yet. But, you know, that was on very, very soft ground last time in France. So, you know, Sea of Grace could be an interesting one. And then the boys in blue of Godolphin, they've got two in the race. Arabian Hope, Josephine Gordon rides this one. It's won its last three, but that's been in a lot lower grades than this. So it needs to step up. But, you know, it's been winning just about, getting its nose in front. So it could have a little bit up its sleeve. It could be winning a bit cheekily. So Arabian Hope, and then they've also run Wahida. It's the only Group 1 winner in the race. Hasn't been out for a while though, John. Charlie Appleby trains, but it's a course winner, and Charlie Appleby horse is in absolutely flying form at the moment. And despite its absence of about 280 odd days, they'll have this one fully wound up, I'm sure. So I'll be taking on the favourite here, Roly Poly, with probably the two Godolphin horses, Arabian Hope and Wahida. But yeah, we've got all the trends on the site and all the other live races on ITV. They're covered as well on Juice Storm. I think there's four today, but this one, the Falmouth, being the feature.
All right, that sounds pretty good, mate. What about tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow it is, well, Super Saturday in racing terms. I mean, obviously that they've nicked that from the football arena, but we've got 10 races live on ITV tomorrow. And then if you chuck in the Irish Oaks over at the Curragh as well, you know, there's plenty to look forward to tomorrow. Over at York, we start there, the John Smith's Cup. I mean, again, there's plenty of trends on the site. You know, there's some big ones here, like 14 of the last 15 winners have been aged 5 or younger. So I think there's about 4 or 5 horses that are, you know, 6-7 year olds in there. So we can just put a line through those straight away based on the fact that, you know, 14 of the last 15 have been aged 5 or younger. You know, check it out. There's plenty of other key trends on there. Trainers to look out for, Richard Fahey and William Haggis. They've won 5 between them in the last 15 run-ins. And I think Haggis has got a horse called Victory Bond, which looks quite interesting. Third last time out. It's been sort of kept fresh for this race. It's bypassed all the big sort of Ascot's festivals, that kind of thing. I think back up to a mile and a quarter should be fine. Obviously, as I said, the Haggis camp have a decent record in this race. Fahy, he's got two in it. Another Touch and Garcia. Again, both around sort of 14 to 1. They look interesting. Again, with the fact that Fahy's won this race three times in the last 15 years. But there's another interesting one here, I think, John, a bit further down. It's about, I think, 18 to 1, 20 to 1. It's called Briardale. I'm going to probably be playing this one each way. Last time out, yeah, flopped massively at Newcastle, but that was over a mile. But interestingly, that was on their all-weather track. So, had plenty of excuses there. It was sent off favourite that day, so it was obviously well fancied by connections. But, we can forgive it being the fact that it was on the all-weather. Back on the turf today, but more importantly, it's back up to a mile and a quarter. That was over a mile last time at Newcastle. Yeah. Before that run on the all-weather, it won, come second, then won at Redcar. And I just think that could be a little bit overpriced, if you can forgive its last run. So that's the John Smith's Cup. Massively competitive, but we can get some fairly decent prices there as well. But then the race of the weekend, John, the July Cup. It's being billed as probably the race of the season so far for the sprinters. Over 6 furlongs, Group 1, and we get a chance to see the first three home in the Diamond Jubilee here. I mean, the Tin Man took that race with Tasley coming second and Lamato, who actually won the July Cup last year. They all renew their rivalry here in the July Cup. There wasn't a lot between them that day, and there was obviously that famous stewards inquiry where the ITV cameras went in and got the jockeys' views, and that was very interesting. There was a bit of interference in the closing stages that day, but the Tin Man, it held the race, and I think of the older horses here, that one will come out on top. But the reason why it's such a good race is because we've got the three-year-olds in here as well, and a couple of new kids on the block. Cairo Vaggio, the Aidan O'Brien Speedball. It's now 6 from 6 unbeaten. Obviously, it won the Commonwealth Cup at Ascot last time out in impressive fashion. O'Brien has already said that this is probably one of the fastest horses he's trained. I think it clocked something like 45 miles an hour the other day on the gallop. So, he's won this race three times before: Stravinsky, Mozart, Star Spangled Banner, and the first of those two were actually three-year-olds as well. So he's not afraid to take on the older horses. But more importantly, the three-year-olds, they get £6 off the older horses here, and that will prove vital, I think. I mean, Caravaggio is actually officially rated the highest in the race anyway, but then getting the £6 off the likes of, the Tin Man, last year's winner Lamato and Tasley, that's just going to be a massive advantage for Caravaggio. Obviously, the other one in the race, Harry Angel, that was about three quarters of a length or half a length behind Caravaggio in the Commonwealth Cup at Ascot. Expect this one to blast out from the gates. This is going to set it all up for probably the likes of the Tin Man and Caravaggio to come through. But I'm a bit surprised that Harry Angel probably isn't running in the Nunthorpe over 5. But, it has won over 6 and it's never been out the first two. So I wouldn't totally rule out Harry Angel. But I think over this track, the Newmarket July course will require a bit of sort of getting home, the stamina comes into play. And I think Caravaggio won with a little bit more up its sleeve last time out. And I think it will be 7 from 7 from this one, John, from the Aidan O'Brien horse. But then Irish Oaks as well, over at the Curragh. We'll just quickly nab on that race. John Gosden, he sends Enable over here. It's won its last two. His impressive winner, wasn't it, last time out in the Epsom Oaks. And I just think that this one, it will probably be, it'll be a short price. But I think, John Gosden's never won the Irish Oaks before. And I think he can can get off the mark here with Enabled continuing to run. And Frankie is over there as well to ride that one. So we'll be, I'm sure a lot of people will be doubling that one up with Caravaggio in the July Cup. But don't miss it. It's going to be a cracker, John, the July Cup.
I certainly won't miss it, Andy, and thanks as ever for a most comprehensive overview of the racing for today, Friday the 14th of July, and indeed tomorrow, Saturday the 15th. Lovely to have you with us again, Andy. Thanks ever so much for that, and I will speak to you soon, sir.
No problem, John. Take care. Have a good weekend, mate.
This is Juice Storm Radio. Juice Storm Radio.
What a couple of great guests they are. That was Andy that you heard from last and Pete that you heard from first. Both of whom you can read their daily comments over at juicestorm.com. They help you trade and trade better. Trading is a tough game. Any trader will tell you that. It's really tough. Without the proper tools, it can be almost impossible to succeed as a Betfair trader. We do our best here at juicestorm.com to provide as many resources as possible. There's loads more out on the web there as well. And also we launched Racing Traders TV a little while ago. There's going to be more of that a little bit later on. There are loads of forums, ebooks out there, trading products out there. Ebooks, of course, you've got Tony Hargrave's ebooks. That'd be a good place to start there as well. Links on our blog in the resources section. But it can be really confusing. You might feel like you're going through the spin of a washing machine cycle. I've certainly been there, albeit a long, long time ago, more years than I care to remember now. But not to worry, let me tell you what you need to equip yourself with to help keep you grounded and on track. John Donne, I think it was John Donne, wasn't it? He wrote, "No man is an island." If you've ever been on any of the public trading forums out there, then you probably lost some faith in humanity. I'm thinking about the old Betfair forum, and there are several others out there. I'm not going to mention them by name, but it can get ugly. The forum posts usually start off with the right intentions, but very often things do degrade pretty quickly. So why should I tell you that you need a trading community? Well, here's the thing, you need to choose the right community. A friendly, supportive community can make all the difference and see you through the tough times and help you develop. We had one years ago here on juicestorm.com. We're introducing a members section at juicestorm.com. That might be one of the places to start when that launches. Keep an eye out. And if you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe to the newsletter at the bottom, because they will be the founding members of the new membership site at juicestorm.com, and it will all be free. Now, as you might know by now, people in your everyday life might not support your trading dream. Carm Berry, in fact, knows all about that. I interviewed him. There's his interview in the podcast. I think it was the first one I did, in fact, in this series. Take a listen to that, and he'll illuminate his opinion on that a little bit more detail. And in fact, many people will be downright against you getting into trading and following your dream. But a great trading community, or even just one or two traders that you can consult with, can make all the difference. Here's another one. If you haven't read Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich, yet, you need to do it this week. In the book, he talks about a mastermind group. Now, this is a group of people who have a common goal, and their participation in the group creates a synergy that makes all of the members better than they would be on their own. So, if at all possible, find a solid group of traders that you get along with and keep in contact with them regularly. There's a hugely supportive group on Facebook. It's, and I always get this wrong, and I don't know why, it's either SSH or SSC. I think it's SSH. Lee, what is it?
SSC.
SSC! Sorry, Wayne. I always get it wrong, but at least you've got a mention there. So that's a great group of really supportive traders. They're completely independent. They do mention our sister website, Racing Traders Co. UK, and the software, great software, BetTrader. But they mention all the other software that's out there as well. And, of course, they do a lot more than just that. So that might be a good place to look if you want to have a community which is going to reinforce you in a positive way. It is a private group,
But if you hit me up on Facebook, I'll get you an invite. Trader mindset, let me talk about that. You really do have to upgrade your mindset to become a successful trader. You've probably heard this many times, but what does this actually mean? Well, I'm going to break down the areas of mindset that you need to start focusing on right now in order to give yourself the best shot at success. Let's get real. Sometimes trading is going to suck. You're going to have a losing streak. You're going to be frustrated and you might want to give up at some point. But the only way out is to push through. If you start breaking down and not following your rules, then you're setting yourself up for revenge trading and a huge loss. So find ways to develop your mental toughness. You can train for something outside of trading, like a sport or maybe some sort of certification. Here are a few other suggestions as well. An abundance mindset. This can be a tough one to overcome, especially if it's been drilled into you for your entire life. Now, what I mean by that is, well, let me ask you a question. Have your parents or friends ever told you that money doesn't grow on trees or that you need to work hard for your money? My mum and dad certainly did. God bless him. My father passed away when I was 19. Mother, thankfully, still alive today, aged 89. But nevertheless, they used to tell me that. It wasn't their fault. That is the reality that they know, and it certainly helped my mother get this far. So when you start making some money by just clicking your mouse a few times, then your conditioning is going to start kicking in, and you're probably going to sabotage yourself and find a way to give that money back. It sounds weird if you've never experienced it, but if you have, then you know how it can creep up on you without any warning. The cause is very subconscious, but the results are real. But it doesn't have to be your reality. Do something every day that will increase your awareness of the abundance around you. For example, here's something that I noticed the other day. People here in Europe have easy access to tap water. Not all of that tap water is completely drinkable. It didn't used to be drinkable here in Malta, for example. It is now, it just tastes pretty shit. But at least we've got access to it. A lot of people do complain about the poor quality of the drinking water in their area. That's a scarcity mentality. But what do bottled water companies do? They've taken the exact same water, cleaned it up and sell it back to us for a profit. These companies make millions a year from something that is freely available to all of us. Opportunity is all around you if you're open to recognising it. Let me talk to you a bit now about forgiveness. This is something that I feel is one of the biggest negative feelings that you need to overcome if you want to become a great trader. It's easy to beat ourselves to a pulp when we have a losing trade or any of the other dozens of things that we do as traders. But that is only going to make things worse. Remember though, it's not your fault. As humans, we're programmed to look for what can go wrong and be prepared for it. Therefore, we naturally look for what is wrong in a situation. We also seem to be particularly hard on ourselves. Now, this can be useful when we're trying to learn something because we strive to get better. But more often than not, we take it too far and are too hard on ourselves, which can lead to a downward spiral. We're able to forgive ourselves and see the situation more objectively if we are able to do that. We can benefit from even a bad situation. We can learn what we did right, what we did wrong, and we'll hopefully learn how to avoid that situation in the future. Close your eyes for a second. Take a couple of deep breaths. Okay, now imagine that you're in the movie Big. What do you mean you haven't seen it? You should have. It's a great film. But if you prefer something else with more action, something like Face Off. Anyway, whatever the case, imagine exchanging bodies with your best friend. You're in their body and they're in yours. Now imagine that you have just had a losing trade. But just as you're about to beat yourself up again, you look in the mirror, see your friend's face looking back at you. You're in their body after all. When you see their face, could you say the same things to that face that you would say to yourself? Would you call your friend stupid or berate them for always getting things wrong? Of course not. You'd encourage them to suck it up and move on. At least, I hope so. So treat yourself like you would treat your best friend, with love, understanding and encouragement. Having the right community and mindset are the keys to becoming a successful trader. That's it for the podcast this week. Hope you enjoyed my thoughts on trading and the trading mindset, and also how to achieve trading success. Just a few pointers. I'll be featuring a little bit more on these shows in the coming weeks ahead. Hopefully won't drive you mad. I'll normally be at the end so you can cut the show at that point when you've listened to our people that I interview on a regular basis. Enjoying the podcasts enormously. Hope you are as well. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know if you like them. That's at Juice Storm on Twitter. Facebook, we're facebook.com/JuiceStorm. Or just ping us in an email. And of course, don't forget, subscribe to the newsletter at the bottom of most pages on juicestorm.com. That's it for another week. See you next Friday. Got some great guests lined up for you already. All the very best. Catch you later. Bye bye.
This is Juice Storm Radio. Juice Storm Radio.